Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Preacher Bill and the Gospel Hour message. This morning's message is Hosanna. And before we do that, I always do a song, and then we do some prayers, and then we'll get into the message. But before we do, I want you to know that we're going to be going to Matthew chapter 21, and then we're going to go to a couple other places after that, but I'll fill you in as we go. But for this morning, just take it for what it's worth, folks. We're here to preach the word. I want you to understand that I do the best I can with what I have available. This morning's message is a mixed message of mine, blended my editing done to Sean Rose, who is a pastor at Plum Grove Baptist Church. And I thought this was a good message, being it's Palm Sunday. So stick with us, and let's get through the morning. And we're going to do the first song this morning, and it's called Hallelujah, He Is Risen. It's only about a minute and a half long. Another song for you, but I won't sing that now. We will get to that. But I just want you to know that, folks, the purpose of the message today is about Palm Sunday. It's about the week before Jesus is put on the cross and dies and then resurrected. But see, Jesus was killed on Friday, at least according to things that the way everything has been explained to us. So this coming Friday will be, or Thursday or Friday, will be the day that Jesus was crucified. But this morning, I want to go to the message of Palm Sunday and what it was about and what have you. But look at this, folks. When we ask, save us, which is what Hosanna means. Hosanna means save us, right? If we do that, who are we asking to save us? You hold that thought now. I'm going to go to prayer requests. Because that's the way I always do this. I try to get the message started, but I want to be able to get the prayers. Teresa has a friend, Teresa being my wife. Her friend Janelle has cancer, and she's going through treatment, and she's having a hard time with it. And it's not easy to have to go through that situation. And she has another friend, her name is Nancy, who has had a mild heart attack and is going to need open heart surgery tomorrow. So please pray for her. Then we have some prayers. Here's one. This is one that I've been trying to get out for a while now. Ralph Knight, he's a minister. He does ministry with sharing the word out in the world. He's been around different countries, and he's older, but he has a blockage, 75% blockage in an artery in his neck. I just found out yesterday, but he's had open heart surgery himself in the last couple of months. So please pray for Ralph. Peggy Versch isn't feeling well. She's got a sore throat. Her ears are starting to bother her. Dorothy Meyer is back to work, and she's dealing with things. But, you know, she's tired, and she's feeling weak. So please pray for her. Rebecca, my daughter, has asked for prayer for her friend Melanie Ramos for healing and personal prayers, and then prayers for her church and leadership and those outside to want to come to church so that they could grow the church better. Concetta Leonetti down in Bridgeport, Connecticut, her cousin Alicia, she's been battling ovarian cancer for almost 4 years. She's only 30 and has a 10-year-old daughter, so please pray for her, for her salvation as well. Tanya Dodson, she's asked for prayer for Robin Rose healing by believing that Jesus is the master healer, the great physician, and he can and will heal her. Her cousin's having some problems, but she doesn't go into all the detail, but that's okay, so please pray for Robin Rose. Friday was an amazing day, at least for me. I'm not sure how to explain it, but it was one of those days where I heard about 4 deaths in one day, and 3 of them within 4 hours. One was a little baby who was born, and his heart wasn't pumping, wasn't working. He's passed. Then there was a friend's sister, her sister-in-law, rather, had committed suicide because her husband was leaving her. She's left behind 2 children and her husband. So please pray for the little ones and the father. A young father was found in his bed. When I say young, he wasn't but about 40-so years old. The wife went out to walk the dog and came back in, and the daughters showed up, and the daughters wanted to say goodbye to dad, so she went in to wake up their dad, and he had passed away in his sleep. That was only at 8 o'clock in the morning. And that night, Friday night, another friend of mine told me about a gentleman who passed away, and the family was trying to find out what was going on. He hadn't been talking to him in a few days, and they used to text all the time, and that gentleman, they found him in his home on his couch, had passed away. Another man who wasn't but about 50 or so years old. So, you know, folks, I'm telling you these things because the reason I say it's amazing, our time is short. We can start learning to ask for Jesus to save us, and we can start hollering Hosanna in the highest and reach out to Jesus Christ, or we can be like some people who are going to pass and never have known Jesus or don't want to know Jesus. That'll be our choice. But I'm telling you, folks, these things are happening. The reason why I'm sharing them for a reason. The reason I share prayer requests is because we should be praying for one another in Christ as our brothers and sisters, and for those that aren't Christians yet, okay, that they would find Jesus Christ and get him in your heart. My Aunt Kathy, Kathy West, down in Stratford, Connecticut, asked for a friend of hers, Joanne Sespo, has been in the hospital since September and had lung surgery and had a few setbacks. Pray for her husband to keep his strength to get through all of this. I'm sure it's got to be very hard on him watching his wife suffer. Sandy Washer, who's a real good friend of ours, my wife and I, and the rest of my family, she's always been a good prayer warrior and sends prayer requests. And today she's asked for prayers for Mandy. She's meeting with the bank tomorrow to get a home loan. Please pray for Mandy for the home that she needs. Ruby, overall health and dementia. Ruby's been having some health problems. Maggie, a crisis. I'm not quite sure what that means, but Maggie's got a crisis going on. And rehab for Richard, shoulder and surgery and pain and uplifting. Sammy F. in Maine Medical with numerous broken bones. We knew that was a car accident. Pray for salvation and healing. That's not just for him, but for all of them. And for Howard's family. Death in the family this week, Sandy said. All those that have cancer, and for our government, folks. The things that are going on in our government right now, shaking up the country. So please pray for them. Father, we ask for all these prayers, and I ask for myself, Lord, for the pain that I'm going through in my back and my shoulder and my arm and my hands and the arthritis and all of the issues. And please just help me to be lifted up to be able to do more for the ministry and have the strength to do that, Lord. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to ask for prayers, for hearing us when we do call out. And, Lord, I just ask you bless this message this morning. Watch over us and give us a safe day. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, this morning's message, I tell you, is Hosanna, which means save us. And when I say save us from what? Okay? That's what you got to ask yourself. What is it you're trying to be saved from? Is it the control of our government? Is it control of the society? Or are you asking to be saved so that you can go to heaven from the miserable, rotten world and from the sins that we've had in our lives? All the people that were pouring into Jerusalem back then, because in verse 21 it says, and when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, this means they were getting there, and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass, that's a mule, tied, and a colt, which is her baby, with her. Loose them and bring them unto me, Jesus said. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. In other words, if anyone says to you, Hey, where are you going with them? Tell them that the Lord asked for them and that he needs them. And this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. And if you look back in, when I say it's spoken by the prophet, if you go back to Zechariah 9:9, and it says that right there, it says, Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, about O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon what? An ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Now, I mention that to you folks because the reason we read scriptures is because we want to know what Jesus is trying to tell us. He prophesied that these things would happen, and here we are. He said that he called for the colt. He wanted to go into Jerusalem. It says it in Zechariah, and that's the Old Testament, Matthew, the New Testament, and it explains it. You have to cross-reference a lot of these things, folks, so that you can get a better understanding. And all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt following an ass. Now, you think about this, folks. He's the king, because he's Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and he's also bringing salvation. Now, I asked you a question. That question was, who are you hoping, and what is your hope for salvation? How do you want to be saved? Hosanna, save us. They said this back in 2009. That was part of Pastor Rose's message back in 2009, where he said the people were saying, save us, save us. They were counting on our president back then to provide for us the things that we needed and to save us from whatever we were going through economically, financially, and as a government. And guess what? He failed because we're still suffering the same things today, and we're still asking the same thing of our government and our president today, and that's why I say pray for the government. Now listen, and the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them and brought the ass and the colt and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. In other words, they didn't let Jesus sit on the colt who had maybe been dirty as an animal, but they put Jesus on their coat. They put almost so he had a blanket to sit on. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. They threw their coats down. Others cut down branches from the trees. And what are these? Today they're called palms. They threw the palms down from the palm trees and strewed them in the way. In other words, they made a pathway for him that the animal could walk across, and the animal wouldn't be walking in the dirt, and they put out what they call, like today's world, the red carpet, okay? Now, if we go through this, you see, and the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And he was come in, and when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? Now, what that means is there was thousands of people that were already in the street, and they're saying, who is this man that they're coming on this colt and with him a donkey, and who is this man that they're praising and worshiping, and they say he's their king? Because, you see, at that time, they were in a political strait where at this time a feast, and you'll see when I read the message to you as I get down through this, blessed is he that come in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into the Jerusalem, he was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Now I'm going to stop there so I can read you this message. From here, you're going to have to gather on some of this, folks. Passover, here's what you need to know. All the people that were pouring into Jerusalem were not there because of Jesus coming to town, as so many make you believe, but he was there because there was a Passover feast. That's what they were all going there for. There was a reason for that, and I'm going to explain it to you. Passover is the major spring festival that commemorates, listen to this, the liberation of the Israelites from Egyptian slavery, lasting 7 or 8 days, that's this coming week, from the 15th day of Nisan. Now, I don't know what the 15th day of Nisan was. I didn't look it up yet. But liberation means this: the act of setting someone free from imprisonment, slavery, or oppression, and release them. People wanted to be freed from the Romans. They expected that Jesus would do that for them, and they found out he was not there for that purpose. He wasn't there to set them free from our government. He wasn't setting us free from slavery in the world. He was setting us free from our sins. Okay? People wanted a Messiah, someone that would protect them, free them, and keep them from the Roman Egyptian rulers. Messiah. What's a Messiah? The promised deliverer of the Jewish nation, prophesied in the Hebrew Bible. Jesus, regarded by Christians as the Messiah of the Hebrew prophets and savior of who? Humankind. A leader or a savior of a particular group or cause. Not everyone or all, I put in there. I put not everyone is going to be saved. Not everyone is of the same group. I tell you that because there are those that don't believe, those that reject Christ, those that neglect the Bible, those that won't follow the scriptures, and those that don't want to be a Christian. So they're not going to be part of that group that is saved by Jesus Christ. And that's what you're going to find throughout the story. If you read this, you'll see. It was Sunday, March 30th, 33 A.D., the very day that the prophet Daniel, in chapter 9, 24 through 27, had prophesied of 600 years earlier. Jesus was nearing the end of his earthly ministry and was making his way to Jerusalem to observe the Passover. Two of his disciples are sent ahead to arrange transportation for their master. This was an odd request, for Jesus walked everywhere he went, but they gladly obeyed his command. You see, Jesus was following what was written in prophecy. It had only been a couple of days earlier that Jesus performed his great miracles to date, the resurrection of friend Lazarus. Many of the Jews became his disciples on that day. And the miracle stirred great concern with the religious leaders. You see, the religious leaders of the day, they didn't want to really have Jesus around because they knew once he was there that he would stir a big stir up among the Jewish people. He was turning the people away from their legalistic religion, and it was feared that he was going to incite a rebellion and draw the wrath of the Roman Empire upon Jerusalem and the surrounding country. Because of the Passover feast, there would be 3 million Jews in Jerusalem over the next week, and Rome would multiply its security force by 10. That means they were going to build up a security force because they knew what was coming. But then it happened. Jesus was coming, riding on a donkey. Everyone knew what that meant. I prophesied it 500 years earlier in Zechariah 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, the king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Jesus was publicly declaring that he was the Messiah. Multitudes were traveling with him, including the 12, and many of those that had witnessed the resurrection of Lazarus. As he approached the city, the people tossed their cloaks before him, that's their coats, and they cut down the branches, which is the palms, waving them and laying them before him. And they were giving him the red carpet treatment, and for the first time, Jesus allowed that. The crowd began to recite the words in Psalm 118, Hosanna, the son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. This is verse 25 and 26 of Psalm 118. This was the cry of Hosanna. The word Hosanna means save us now. Surely Jesus, the man of miracles, was their Messiah. They were oppressed by the iron fist of the Roman Empire. They were suffering economically and socially. There was opposition all around them. They were surrounded by mocking enemies. Hosanna, Hosanna, which is save us now. If anyone could break Rome's grip on God's people, it was Jesus. Fearing a rebellion and a response by the Roman guard, some of the Pharisees begged Jesus to rebuke his followers and tell them to stop this display. Jesus replied, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Jesus continued to ride on, allowing the multitude to shout their praises. Suddenly, Jesus came to stop. He stood, stretched out his hands toward Jerusalem, and began to weep. He cried out to Jerusalem, mourning because of the unbelief he knew he would find there. The crowds were confused. What did this mean? They followed him into the city, ready to crown him as their king and to commit themselves to his cause to deliver them from the bondage of Rome. But Jesus walks to the temple. Why was he going there? Would he announce his messiahship from the steps of the temple? instead of announcing his plan to overthrow Israel's enemies and ushering an era of peace and prosperity, Jesus causes a disturbance in the temple, casting out the money changers and yelling, "My house is the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. My house, my house." This is what they were saying. They're saying, wait a minute, whose house? These are the religious leaders that were saying this. The temple was God's house. Is Jesus claiming to be God? This is what the Romans and Egyptians were asking. What a disappointment. He had such potential. He had done so many great things. He had healed the sick. He had helped the poor. He had raised the dead. But now, when he should be standing up for God's people, he had gone mad. He deserved to be executed. Who else? Who could claim to be God? You're just Jesus Christ. You're just a man from Nazareth. And you want to say that you're a God? That's what these leaders were saying. In fact, these kings, the president or at the time, if you look at these things, it says here, what a disappointment. That's how a leader and a king, a president is treated, even in society today. The president comes into the to clean up the mess that's going on within the government, and many of the holy would remove them. Many of these people that are hollering, take him out, take him out. They don't want him there. Look at today's society. The people are marching, protesting, crying, help, protect us, help, provide us, give us freedom. Hosanna, Hosanna, they're hollering, save us. And they want safety. With every protection under government, we still face threats, be it from financial, economical issues, to attacks from crime or attacks from enemies here within our country or outside of our country. Jesus came to save, but not from these issues. Jesus came to save your soul from the enemy of Satan, from eternal life in hell. Jesus was welcomed as a king, but was quickly rejected. Look at this. Because he did not answer the multitude, cry, to save us now, Hosanna. It wasn't that he didn't care. As a matter of fact, Jesus said himself that he had come to seek and to save that which was lost. The problem was that Jesus offered salvation for the soul and not the salvation that the multitudes wanted. They wanted salvation from a Roman Empire, salvation from their economic problems, salvation from fares and hurts, salvation for their soul. Who needs that? They were worried about the present, not the future. So just a few days later, those that cried, save us now, Hosanna, Hosanna, would be crying, crucify him, crucify him. This is why Jesus had paused and wept. He offered them the most important salvation of all. But they were too busy. They were too concerned with their own problems, their everyday life. They didn't care about the future. They didn't care what's the most important thing to them. Today, the people are still crying. They're still hollering, save us, save us, save us now, Hosanna, Hosanna. They put their hopes in a new president. They hold their breath as economic stimulus plans are approved and voted upon. They believe that this time the politics will be pushed aside. The problems of hate, greed, murder, that's all going to be saved with a new president. And everyone will live happily ever after. But they are too concerned with their problems to see their greatest need, the need for salvation of their soul. Personal note, and this is only my personal note, there's a cry to crucify the person, our president, in charge right now in our country. And there are those that are doing all they can to do this politically through the media. They promote hate over the rights of freedom. Yesterday, millions marched against gun violence. Yet the same people that are against violence, if guns, and are protesting for their rights, they're protesting for the rights of abortion. They're protesting for the rights for a lifestyle that's so sinful. But yet they don't want to ask for their salvation of their soul. By no means am I comparing this president to Jesus Christ. Take my word for it. I am saying that the political atmosphere now has not changed in all these thousands of years. It's the same as then. We're being controlled by a government just like the Egyptians did the people back then. But yet we won't turn to Jesus and ask for salvation for our soul. We want to be happy, we want to be free, but are not seeking a future of forever happiness. The Bible says that the Lord's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It says that in another place, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus does, he does care about your financial problems. He does care about work, whether you have work or don't have work. He cares about whether you're losing your home or your possessions. He's concerned about your health and your welfare and your safety, folks. But most of all, Jesus cares about your soul. He offers the same salvation he offered the people of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. He offers it as a gift, and it's free to whomever wants it. There's no cost. You don't have to do anything. It's free. Just accept Jesus Christ as the Messiah. What about you? Are you standing here this morning crying, save me? Save me now? Provide safety? What kind of salvation are you looking for? Let me suggest that you accept Jesus' offer of spiritual salvation right now. He wants to save you even more than you want to be saved. You may be worried about this life, but he wants to give you eternal life. You may be worried about finances, but in the next life, you can walk on streets of gold. You may be afflicted with an illness, but Jesus offers you healing. If you will ask him to forgive you for your sins and to be the leader of your life, he will save you now. And you can live the rest of your life knowing that he will take care of you in his time and in his way. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You see, folks, Jesus doesn't mind that we're suffering down here on this earth. If we don't want him, it's not his concern any longer. He said, listen, I have come to save the lost. You're lost, folks. You have a soul that's going to go to hell, and it'll be down there burning forever if you're not saved by Jesus Christ. If you don't make him your leader of your life and ask for forgiveness of your sins, why would he want to save you and bring you to heaven? He's not going to cart you with your filthy, rotten sins all the way there. To give him up now, he wants you to ask for forgiveness. He wants you to ask for salvation. He wants you to be led by the Holy Spirit. He would like for you to read your Bible every day and hear what the churches say, as it says in the back of the Bible in Revelation. He tells us what to do. If you want to be saved, it's written there, folks. This morning I ask, are you willing to give up your life for Jesus Christ? Are you going to live for this world? Thank you for being with me. Thank you for letting me share the message. I was going fast, and I was going fast for a reason. I wanted to get as much in as I could. I knew this message was long, and I knew I had a lot of prayer requests this morning, folks. But your salvation and your soul is as important to me as it is to Jesus Christ, and more so to Jesus than me. I'm just here to share the gospel. I'm just a vessel, folks. I just pour the water out. How it nourishes your body is up to you. Thank you for letting me share the gospel, and God bless you. Please remember those prayer requests. Please go back and listen if you have to, and write them down and pray for each one of them. I thank you for being here, and God bless you. I have one more song for you. Let me see if I can find it here. It looks like I'm going to have to go find it. Okay, that's fine. It happens to me every Sunday. There's always an issue with electronics. Here we go. Do this. But thank you for being here. Come find me, William Preacher Bill Barnes, over on Facebook. I'll be glad to help you with I can give you. If you have anything you'd like me to pray for, please go there. Go to William Preacher Bill Barnes on Facebook, and I'll gladly pray for you as well. This last song is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. It'll play right into the end of the message, which will go into archives, folks. So please, anytime, just go back and listen to it. There's plenty of messages in archives as well. God bless you, and have a great day.
Lord of Lords.
God bless you. Have a great Sunday. We'll talk to you again next week.